Psalm 119. This year we've been giving focus to relationships, and we've begun with our relationship with the Lord and almost have taken that, and today will really be probably the final message fully impacting that relationship. We've taken that almost half a year, and I recognize very easily we could just keep talking about our relationship with the Lord. It is so key, it is so important in our lives to recognize that when you become a Christian, you enter into a relationship with God. The problem is sometimes we enter into that relationship but then don't develop it any further. We kind of remain babes in Christ. Paul talked to the church of Corinth about that. And we don't grow in the Lord. We don't learn to get anything out of His Word. And we don't learn to communicate with Him. Actually, we live almost as if we're still carnal. And what does Paul mean when he says that? He says, you're living like you're unsaved. And so I want to just really encourage you to really give thought to your relationship with God. If you're a Christian, if you would claim to be a child of God, do you have a relationship with Him? Are you daily walking with Him? What does that look like? That means on a daily basis, you're fellowshipping with Him, you're talking with the Lord, even as you would a mate or a child or a co-worker. You're communicating with the Lord, you're looking into His Word and asking Him to show you something to help you to live your life in a way that would please Him, to teach you something about Himself. And then throughout that day, you're really just striving to please Him and striving to have fellowship with Him and talking to the Lord. And the simplicity of just thanking Him for a meal, or the depth of asking Him to help you in a meeting, help you with a relationship, help you to change something, help you with your finances, whatever it may be. Now, dear friend, if you're not a child of God, if there's never been that time where you've trusted in Christ alone for your salvation, I want to encourage you to give careful consideration to trusting in God alone to save your soul. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for the sin of the world, the Bible teaches us. He says, whosoever will, let him come. What we do is recognize that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. God does not allow unrighteousness into heaven, neither does He allow those who are unrighteous to have a relationship with Him. We must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so what we do is we believe that Jesus Christ is God. We believe that He died on the cross for our sins. And then we pray, trusting in Him for salvation. We describe it in several ways. Some would say we confess our sins. We repent that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But we believe that Jesus Christ is God, that He died for us, and we trust in that alone. And we tell God, I'm trusting in You alone to save me and to get me to heaven. And the moment you do that, so many things happen. But you immediately enter into a relationship with God. He says, you can call me Father, and I'll now call you my child. I'll call you a son or a daughter. And we enter into that very personal relationship with God. And again, that is to grow. I'll be preaching tonight a very practical and helpful message, especially to parents and especially to younger people and the younger Christians, because I want you to understand some of the Bible is meat and there's other parts of the Bible that is milk. And I think sometimes as children you grow up and you kind of get disappointed. You're reading the Bible and not getting anything, and you can even get bored with it. Can I say that being a preacher? You can even get bored with it. You can even, I don't even know why I read this. And I think tonight I can have some really practical helps for you and show you some personal examples from the Word of God that will help you growing in that relationship with the Lord. As I was fellowshipping with the Lord this week and really considering preaching the next message in the series, which I'll now be preaching next week, I was led to a verse here in Psalm 119 that really stood out to my soul and really revived my thinking. And so I want you to look at verse number 133 with me. This is the longest chapter or psalm in all the Word of God. All but, I believe, four verses are about the Word of God. And in Psalm 119, 133, he says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me." Without raising your hand, how many of you had a struggle with some sin this week? Again, don't raise your hand. There's no sense. I'm not a priest. You don't need to confess to me today. But maybe somewhere along this past week, there was a sin that was dominating you. Well, this is what the psalmist said. He says, "Lord, would you order my steps?" It's really an interesting statement. It's a prayer. He's asking the Lord for help. By the way, when you have trouble with sin, the best place to start is asking the Lord for help. And he says, "Lord, I want you to order my steps." That word order means to arrange, has that idea to put into a specific order, has that idea to put it into a direction, direct it towards something. He said, "Lord, would you order my steps?" Maybe as teaching a child something, and somewhere along the line they didn't get it, so you actually took them and you physically moved their body and pointed them. "Now I want you to go that way." Maybe you're teaching them baseball, and they hit the ball and they run to the pitcher's mound. Or the next time they hit the ball and they run to third base or whatever. And so you point them in the direction and you say, "No, now next time you hit the ball, why don't you run that direction and touch that base?" Well, what the psalmist is saying here, he says, "Lord, this is what I want you to do." It's actually in this form. He's saying, "Lord, I want you to make my steps arranged. I want you to direct my steps." And with that in mind, he's saying, "Lord, if you would direct my steps, then sin won't have dominion over me. I won't have trouble with sin dominating me if I allow you to point me in the right direction." Listen to what Job says. Job says, "For now thou numberest my steps." You know, the Lord knows. How many of you have, maybe like on my, I have on my iPhone, I have a step counter, or maybe you have a Fitbit, and some of you are trying to get 10,000 steps a day to keep in shape, or maybe you have a higher number or a lower number, and you're trying to somewhat stay in shape. Well, here it says in the Word of God that God can count our steps. Isn't that interesting? Job would later on say, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?" Not only he counts them, but he sees where I'm going. And this is what the psalmist Asaph said in Psalm 73. "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps have well nigh slipped." He said, "I was really struggling with life." And so the psalmist cries out here, "Order my steps in thy word." I want to talk to you about the power of the Word of God and how wonderful it is. Have you ever heard the song, "Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful?" Or maybe another song, "His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful." Well, you know, not only isn't he wonderful and his name wonderful, so is his word. And I want to talk to you about the wonderful Word of God. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask that you would help during this message for you to order not only our steps, but you would order our thinking. And Father, I pray for anyone here or later listening that, Father, if they are not one of your children, that you would order their lives at this point. You would draw them to yourself, that they would truly trust in thee alone for salvation. For any Christian that's listening now or later, may they truly not just be a child of God, not just be one of your children, but have a relationship with you, a daily relationship with you. And help us in understanding how important then your word is to that relationship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to look at two things this morning. First of all, how God's word is wonderful because it gives discernment. Let's look here at Psalm 119. I want to begin with verse number 129, where it says, "Thy testimonies," speaking of the word of God, "are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." Back in verse number 125, he said, made this statement, "I am thy servant, give me understanding." Well, the psalmist is going to go on to explain that God's word is wonderful. That's actually a word, again, that he used speaking of himself. His name shall be called Wonderful. Exact same word. So God's word is wonderful, and one of the reasons is because it gives to any one of his children understanding or the ability to discern between things. Have you ever come to something in life and you just kind of had the question, I wonder if God's all right with this? You know, dear friend, if we're not careful, we begin to draw lines where we want to draw the lines. We live the Christian life the way we think it ought to be lived. And in a sense, what we do when we do that is we make ourselves God. And we decide, well, I'm going to draw the line here for me. And I'm going to do it this way. Well, what happens if she draws it over there? He said, well, that's not right. Well, wait a second. She drew it where she wants it. You drew it where you want it. Who's God? And the problem is when we begin to draw lines in our lives that aren't according to the Word of God, we begin to make our own choices. In a sense, we set ourselves up as God. He says, God, your word is wonderful. And one of the reasons is it gives me the ability to discern. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your... it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may, what's the next word? Ye may prove. You've got to prove, not what's good, not what you think is right, but what is good, acceptable, and perfect in the eyes of God. So again, I need discernment. He says, you know what, God, your word is wonderful. And one of the reasons it's wonderful, because it helps me to discern as I go through life. Look who he goes on to say then in verse number 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding. Boy, isn't light helpful? You're in the midst of darkness sometimes, and just being able to reach down and have a flashlight. Boy, isn't that become something wonderful? I have a pretty powerful flashlight. In fact, Steve Hildebrand told me to buy this flashlight, so I'm going to focus. That's kind of bright back here, isn't it, Steve? I won't shine this in your eyes other than Steve's, but anyway. This is a really powerful flashlight, and actually a more powerful flashlight. You know what, even in this room, this flashlight lights some things up, and yeah, it's a square there, and I can turn it into a circle. But anyway, this is pretty powerful flashlight, but we've already got some light in here. Can you imagine the ability this would help us to see and make decisions if the room was dark? Just having a candle years ago was the option for us. And just lighting a candle gave help to be able to, again, discern, to make decisions, and moving about the kitchen or moving about from room to room or whatever your building you're in, That light gives us the ability to discern our steps. The children of Israel had something marvelous in the Old Testament. As they were moving out of Egypt and then moving through the wilderness, they had a pillar of cloud during the day, the Shekinah glory, and the pillar of fire by night. In one of the great stories in the Word of God, it says, as they were fleeing and going across the Red Sea, the dry ground that God had prepared, what God did is allow that Shekinah glory to go behind them, and it cast darkness to the Egyptians that were following, so they wouldn't have the ability to see the children of Israel, and it would cast light, just almost like having this huge, super million beam light in front of them so they could see exactly where to go as they crossed the Red Sea. See, what God's Word does is it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word has the ability to help us to know how to discern to get through life. And so God's Word is wonderful because no matter what life you're trying to navigate, God can help you. And He does so through His Word. The problem is when we as Christians don't get into the Word of God, or we are as Christians don't avail ourselves to the preaching of the Word of God, we don't have the opportunity to allow us to get discernment from it. And what God is simply trying to do is trying to turn the light on. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Well, as we read the Word, I think in a sense God says, let there be light. God wants us, as we read through the Word of God, to be able to discern, to see clearly. Again, thy word is a lamp to my feet. It shows me where I am. It's a light unto my path. It shows me where I ought to go. When we're walking in darkness, we've stepped off of God's path for our lives. So again, His Word is wonderful because it gives discernment. And as you're going through life, and as you wake up in the morning, you may say, Lord, I've got a meeting today. Will you help me to know how to respond in that meeting? Show me something from Your Word. You may go to a specific passage. There are times in the morning that knowing what I'm going to face in the day, I don't just continue on where I'm reading. I go to specific passages that I know will help me for that day. And I talk to the Lord and I say, Lord, will you show me something in this passage that's going to help me today? Father, you know what I'm going to face. You know what trial I have up ahead of me. You know what decisions I have up ahead of me. You know what people I'm going to come into contact with. And so I'm specifically getting into His Word and saying, would you help me to know how to discern life, to see it clearly, so that I can make the proper decisions. But not only is it wonderful because it gives discernment, but I like, secondly, God's Word is wonderful because it's for you. It's for me. There are some passages in the Word of God, and we'll look at this and talk about this tonight, that are really challenging. There are passages that we could go to in the Word of God that I don't fully understand yet, even though I've been a pastor for many years. There are other passages of Scripture I'm sure that you struggle to understand with. But I also understand this. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Are you there? I'm there sometimes. I can be really simple. The word simple there has the idea of being simply naive, having the idea, just don't know. I am sure you may not be naive in general, or gullible, we might say. You may not be naive in life in general, but I'm sure there's some areas of life that you're naive. You just don't know. You just fully don't understand. The word simple also has the idea to be open-minded. Now that can be dangerous as well as it can be good. The word has the idea to be open-minded, meaning, I can be gullible. That means if sinners entice thee, I need a verse that tells me to consent thou not. I need a verse that will warn me about what the strange woman's going to do and how she's going to act. Why? Because, boy, if we're not careful, we're an open-minded young man. Solomon talks about he saw a young man standing at the casement of the window and looking out. And he spots a young lady of the world going about. And he was really kind of gullible in that situation. So again, the Word of God isn't for just those people who've graduated from high school. It isn't for those people that have a master's degree only. It isn't for those who have studied and call themselves theologians. The Word of God can be helpful to anybody. That surely is encouraging to me. If I am naive about a part in life, guess what? God isn't. If I'm not sure what decision to make in this area of life, God knows. And so as a Christian, I then need to become open-minded to Him. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It also has the idea of those who are innocent or lack experience. You know, sometimes you get in a certain situation, maybe it's with a computer or an iPad. You find somebody who's experienced and they say, oh yeah, go to this and there and you'll find this and that. And there it's clearly and easily mapped out. Well, they've got experience. They've handled this for a while, where someone else, which is new to that device, is quickly confused, not sure where to go next. We still have mom in the flip phone era, and on purpose, okay? But we now have decided to give mom an iPad. Please pray for us, okay, if you would. And, you give a lady, I don't know, maybe she's over 60 now. I'm not sure. Yeah, I am sure she's over 60. But give a lady who's not used to all of that. And I still remember, do you remember the old rotary dial phones? And ours had about a 30-foot cord. You could go about anywhere in the house. You can't imagine it, kids, but I remember hanging there next to the countertop in the kitchen. And we could actually go into the furthest back bedroom with that stretch cord. And that's how you used to talk on the phone. Now you have a phone and merely talk on it. Right? You text, you email, you get on your... Anyway, we're not going there. When we first gave that iPad to mom, every question she had, had to just kind of, okay... She'd have to jot a note, and next time I or Caleb or one of us would come by, we'd have a question to ask. So you don't go to mom's, because you know when you go to mom's, you're just going to be asked about the iPad. No, not seriously. But when you get something new, you just don't know how it works. God says, you know what? When you enter into this relationship and aren't sure how it works, come to me. It's going to give you understanding. So we need to get into the Word of God because it gives to us understanding. Would you turn with me a moment? I'm going to come back to this verse. You may not need to come back, but turn with me to Psalm 19. We're in Psalm 119. Now go to Psalm 19. Dear friend, to be in a personal relationship with God, you must be in the Word of God. And ask the Lord, Lord, would you order my steps? I want you to know, dear friend, if we go through life without asking the Lord to help us in ordering our steps, we will be dominated by sin. We'll be living in the flesh. We'll be living in our own spirit. and not be walking in the Spirit so that we cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. The change in your life is not going through a 12-point, a 10-point, a 5-point program. The change in your life comes by entering into a daily walk in relationship with the Lord. And you begin by carefully reading His Word and asking Him to show you things. Look what it says here in Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The law of the Lord is what? It's perfect. Converting the soul. Now that's not a redemptive term there. It's actually a term for helping us to make changes in our lives. It's not a term referring to salvation. It's referring to the changes that need to be made after salvation. It says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure, doing what? You can be a person who in this life, by life standards, is quite simple. Possibly just having a high school education. You say, well, I've never been to college. I don't have a master's degree. I don't have a doctorate degree. But you can still become wise. Because if you walk with the Lord on a daily basis, He'll begin to impart wisdom into your life. And there aren't all kind of books you need to read. I think the feeling is you're about to have your first child, and so I need to find out what all books are out there and what all I ought to be doing as a mom or what all I ought to be doing as a dad. There's really just one book you need to read. It's the Word of God. And He's going to help you to know what to do if you've got a child that has foolishness bound in them. And He's going to know you, teach you how to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And He's going to teach you what is important to teach a child. And so He says here, in being in the testimonies of the Lord, it's going to make the simple person wise. Turn with me back to Psalm 119, if you would. Dear friend, it's not about needing an education or a degree. It's about walking with the Lord. And I am trying to really almost overemphasize something very simple, because I think sometimes we jump beyond that. And what I want you to simply do is get into this daily relationship and walk with the Lord and recognize His Word is wonderful, because it gives discernment. It gives understanding. It helps us to be able to make decisions, and it will work for you. You're simple. You haven't been saved that long. You don't have that great of an education. You may not even be able to read. I knew a very godly man who couldn't read, but had a lot of wisdom, and he walked with the Lord. He was my grandfather. He said on his deathbed, he had been for days, I was in college at the time, and on his deathbed, he had not been able to speak, very weakened. But I believe it was, and Mom can correct later if she needs to, but I believe it was the morning of his passing. He said down the hall in the nurse's station, they could hear him crying out and talking to God. Couldn't read, but had a relationship with God. Often his wife would read the Word of God to him. Dear friends, there are so many things that we can use today. There's the Bible on DVD. There's the Bible on CD. There's apps that can be downloaded on phones. And there's programs on computer. And you can hear the Word of God. And just ask the Lord to show you and give you wisdom. Turn on the light. Look what he goes on, or listen to what's said in Proverbs. I want to talk about that for a second. It says that Proverbs has been written to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So again, to the simple person, it's meant to give the ability to discern. Listen to what it says later on. He would talk about, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, found in Psalm 119. So the Word of God says, you know what, Lord? Just open my eyes. I want to encourage you, before you live tomorrow to its fullest, take some time somewhere throughout that day. First thing in the morning's awesome. It's a great way to start your day. Maybe for you it's going to be at the first break. Maybe it's going to be at lunchtime. But somewhere throughout that day, you have to say, Lord, will you give me something to help me to live today for you? Teach me something about yourself. Give me a promise that I need to claim. Give me a truth that I need to hold on to. Give me a principle that I need to live by. But Father, if I'm to live today for you, I need help from you. Would you order my steps again so sin doesn't dominate me? Look what the psalmist goes on to say. I want you to notice two other verses before I close. He says, verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy command. Just get the word picture there. It's like, I guess I think of the hart panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, as that deer would pant, long for. He says, I opened my mouth and panted. What was I panting for? What was I longing for? I longed for thy commandments. Look at verse 133, where he then says, because of that, order my steps in thy word. Again, we were looking at last week, Romans chapter 12. We need to approve what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The only way to do that is by getting into the Word of God. Let me encourage you, dear Christian, to begin that personal daily walk in relationship with the Lord and recognize, I can't do without it. Some of you are big breakfast people, right? I'm not. I do a late morning breakfast. I'm not a eating first thing in the morning type of thing. Why is that? Because I just ate before I went to bed, probably. I don't need to eat right away first thing. But somewhere throughout the day, you say, well, I'm starving. I need to eat. Some of you are starving spiritually. Some of you are really struggling in this Christian life because you're not eating spiritually. You need to eat. You need to stop somewhere throughout this day and get a spiritual granola bar, a spiritual smoothie, a good meal in the Word of God. And then be like the psalmist. Say, you know what? This Word is wonderful. It gives me the ability to understand how to live this life for the Lord. The Bible says we then need to grow in grace and in a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm going to give this even a more practical look and give more suggestions as to where to read and what to read and how to follow after, so we might walk in the Spirit, so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let us ask the Lord, Lord, order my steps in thy word. Let's pray. Just for a moment, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, who would say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I'm really struggling with that day-to-day relationship right now. I'm not reading like I ought to, or I tried reading and I wasn't getting anything out of it, whatever it may be. Maybe no one has ever showed you. God bless you. Hands are already going up. And you just want me to pray for you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I actually have seen some hands here in these opening seconds that I haven't seen raised in a long time. So praise the Lord. Anyone else say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I don't have that relationship with God that I ought to. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Pray. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just say, would you pray? God bless you. Thank you. Your friend, you say, man, I'm so simple. I want you to know God's word can help you. And it can give you wisdom, the ability to discern. Are you here this morning and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? You say, I'm not really sure I would be called a child of God. And you talk about being saved. I'm not sure what that is all about. But I would like to know more about becoming a child of God, being saved and what that means. Would you pray for me without embarrassing me, without pointing me out, without pressuring me? Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Just let me see your hand raised. I'll pray for you. Dear Father, as we come to you, your word is so wonderful because it can turn the light on for us and help us to see how to live life in a really dark world. And so, Father, it's wonderful because it can help all of us. There's no one in this room that just isn't to the level that your word can't help them. And so, Father, we rejoice in your word. Would you now order our steps in it? Would you help us? We're tired of being dominated by life's sins. We're tired of being controlled by our flesh. We want the freedom of living in Christ and being free from the bondage of sin. And the answer is found in your word. Would you now guide our steps? Order our way. And may we delight in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me?